Thursday morning right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Glad you're along for the 16th day of September 2021. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And tell you what, we're in for a nice run of days coming up. Next 4 days now, at least, forecast. Beautiful. Kind of that peak September weather. Lots of sunshine, temperatures really nice, although tomorrow we could have, actually, tomorrow could be a hot day. But today, sunshine. 23 will be the high today. So beauty. Tomorrow, sunshine. High 26. Humidex, though, 33 tomorrow. So it's going to be a bit of a steamer to head into the weekend. That's a steamer in a good way. And then on the weekend, it is going to be sunny both Saturday and Sunday. And temperatures around 22 or 23, which is very nice as you head out this morning. First of all, it's 10 degrees, so a little on the chilly side. And depending on where you live, and if you're driving around at this early hour, you could be heading into some fog. Do we have our fog sound effect somewhere?
Robert McLeod, Robert McLeod, Robert McLeod, Robert McLeod.
There you go. We got our Rubber McClaw fog.
That's when you're fighting through the fog.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, thank anyway. You, Simmer.
Some fog. Only it was weird. I was driving along, nothing, and then all of a sudden hit the Byward Market, and it was foggy down here. Anyway, it may be foggy where you are. I'm sure it will lift on a sunny day. But as mentioned, 10 degrees as we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
Excellent, Jer. Out in old North Manitick, where I'm living now. Actually, beautiful stars this morning. Headed in, just a little bit of light fog. And then, as you said, get into the lower ground of the market a little bit more. But, God, got to admit, when you look at the long-term forecast and forecast into the weekend, got to put a smile on your face.
Yes, there you go. This is the last official weekend of summer, by the way, if you care about such things as well.
Yeah.
First day of fall arrives usually around the 21st or whatever, so early part of next week. We'll get some nice days up until then. So it's kind of, we're in the transition season, right?
Oh,
football
for sure.
Is, you know, baseball's wrapping up regular season. Yeah. Football's, depending on either Canadian or NFL, just kind of getting going or just about to reaching the midway point of its season. And then, of course, hockey training camps will begin next week and it'll be full on. This next, it's the annual debate, eh? What's the best time of year to be a sports fan? If you're a fan of the big major sports,
true,
is it
true.
This time?
Yeah.
Or is it kind of April?
Yeah. So. Well, I guess if you're a hockey guy, mostly, but I'll say locally, if you're an NFL Jays and Sens fan, and depending on how the day goes with Brady Kachuk, JR, but overall, pretty good time of year for you, right? I mean, the Jays are exciting. Your NFL team can't be too down on them right now, even if they're 0-1. And simple fact that Sens season, along with rookie camp and a rookie game Saturday kicks off, has got a lot of people excited.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so we have much to discuss today. We're going to do all of it coming up. Don't forget, speaking of the NFL, get your picks in. Week 2 kicks off tonight. Giants at the football team. 8:15 kickoff, 8 o'clock coverage here on TSN 1200. Week 2, as you mentioned, both teams off to 0-1 starts. So what's your, have you made your picks already, your selections?
Yeah, no, I did yesterday. You know, and I kind of said to myself, you know what, just go with the Giants. I know the Washington football team has a real good defense. Don't have any real faith in their quarterback. And as I say that, JR, I don't even really remember. I think that was my thought process. All I make sure is that I get my picks. And I decided as I'm down and I'm still in the top 1,000, I went heavy road. Because I want to try to make up some points here.
Two for one.
So a little strategic action as we get into week 2 here.
And again, to remind everyone the way our pool works, you get 2 points if you pick a road team and they win. Only 1 point if you pick the home team. So I think a lot of people, you know, if you're a guy, you're not big on memos and rules and things. You're just like, it's a straight up pool. I'll just go click, 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 click. There's an incentive to pick the road
team.
All right. So you get 2 for 1 there. Let me give you a little bit of statistical information for you gambling degenerates about tonight's game that may help you make your selection, or if you've already made it, to change your selection, which you can always do. All right, you mentioned that that Taylor Heinicke only has 2 career starts. Yeah. We'll start for the football team tonight. Let's see here. So you got a rookie quarterback for them. The Giants have lost 5 consecutive games on Thursday nights. That dates back to 2000. Their last win was actually at Washington back in 2015.
Okay, wow.
So Thursday night football rolls around. Short weeks, Giants. Yeah. Historically, at least lately, have not done very well.
Okay.
On the flip side of that, Daniel Jones, the, let's say, not necessarily knocking anybody's socks off, Giants quarterback.
No.
4-0 career versus the football team.
Okay.
In 4 starts. But on the flip side of that, Daniel Jones is 0-5 in prime time.
Oh, okay, okay.
So he's 4-0 versus Washington, but he's 0-5 in prime time.
Yeah, and
so
I,
you figure it out.
And I'd love to track back, JR, where he's at in his career as to where Eli was, because there was certainly touch and go pretty much up until that first Super Bowl win as to whether or not you could win with this guy. It was certainly an incredible roller coaster, and I wonder where Jones is at, as he, as you said, a pretty controversial pick, and I'm sure when he got booed by his own fans,
mm-hmm.
but more importantly, because the Redskins Washington football team took Mr. Haskins. I wonder if he's been super motivated every time he plays the Washington football team.
Yeah, except in prime time, apparently.
Yeah,
there we go. All right, so Simmer's on the Giants. Hammer, you care to reveal your pick?
Yes, I will reveal my pick, and I'm on the Washington football team for this one.
Okay.
The Giants just stink. Yeah. But bottom line, Giants stink.
Yeah, I like Simmer's.
But I don't want to say that because I want Simmer to stick with the Giants.
Yes.
Even though I understand he's trying to get the deuce here.
Because you guys are sort of battling toward the bottom of the standings, both in the celebrity pool and the overall pool among
the
listeners.
No, no, you have 0 points.
No,
you are at the basement.
Have you checked? Because I talked to the guy who ran the pool.
Oh, what is
I talked to the guy who ran the pool. I showed him the email, which showed that I had made my selections. And I am clearly way ahead of you guys. Middle of the pack with the listeners, but far in advance. So I win week one in the Pico Pizza Cup.
That email,
week
you were
by
using
week.
Your place at the station, your ivory tower here.
What?
You did not get your picks in. I understand you have a receipt. It could have been manipulated, by the way.
Okay.
This season is now under protest.
Of all the people that you know who would not have the ability to manipulate things based on their technical ability... Who would immediately comes to mind?
No, but you're on the horn, though. You're making phone calls. This had nothing to do with your ability to work a computer.
But you have some incredibly intelligent daughters and wife that you could have enlisted their help to manipulate your email.
Okay, this reminds me of a good story that I want to tell before I forget, because we were on the floor at during dinner last night. So my youngest daughter, who is 19.
Yeah.
Okay, so she graduated high school at 17. She went to Algonquin, took a two-year program, which included an apprenticeship, a co-op program. And she's in kind of sort of website stuff, design, et cetera.
Yeah.
Okay, so she got an internship with the government at StatsCan. Okay, and so she did really well. She ends up graduating. She gets a job right away. So she has a full-time job. She's 19 years old. So she was telling me earlier this week. What day are we today? When was 9/11?
Saturday.
Saturday. Okay. Yeah. So I guess on Monday they're having like a group meeting or whatever because everybody's, it's a virtual office or whatever. And everybody's talking about, where they were. Everybody remembers where they were when 9/11.
Yeah.
So they came around to her and she said, and some guy's like, I was actually in university myself, and another guy says, well, I remember I was working at blankety blank.
Oh,
my
no.
daughter quotes, I wasn't born.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough one. Hey? Yeah, there are certain moments that you bring up it's amazing. And you talk to somebody and you're like, maybe forget it.
Yeah.
Hey, when you start looking at us, life passes quickly.
Let's go around the horn here. Let's talk about memories. I don't have any. It wasn't really quite there yet.
Anyway. All right, anyway, back to the pool. Make sure you get your picks in. And again, we'll have coverage of tonight's game right here on TSN 1200. Okay.
Nice deflect, by the way, too, with that fantastic family story.
Yes.
But you still under protest for this entirety of the season for the pick 'em pool because you called the head honcho.
Didn't call him. I emailed him. And sent him my picks. Which were not manipulated.
I like his email, too, because I'm pretty sure the website got a few of my picks wrong. I would say, about the majority? And I need those corrected, please.
No, as I said, I got 15 points. So it wasn't like the winner this week had 20. Was it Lover of Big Boobs? Was
How
the team name?
How could you forget?
Because it did inspire a flurry of texts after that, none of which I read because
you couldn't.
We're all like 12 years old. Mickey Rourke is, ironically, 69 today, best remembered for his role in, what was the one with the...
9.5 weeks.
Kim Basinger.
Yeah, and then also Wild Orchid.
Orchid. Yeah,
well done,
yes. Thank you, yes.
And then was he in Wrestler? Or was that, did he end up playing that?
The Wrestler?
Yeah.
A Wrestler?
Did he get an Oscar for that or just a nomination?
I don't know. But I know you get some people get facelifts done. He had someone's face put on his.
Oh, really?
Wow. That was a face-off, face-on.
Jeepers jumping. What happened to him? But 9.5 weeks, and I'm trying to think of the tune.
Never been able to look food at the same way after that.
Yeah, that was actually excellent. Great tune. And he's a good-looking fellow at the time, too, and very sexy was the whole kind of scene with that. And I think they played a little bit of Avalon, one of my favorite. Brian Ferry. Yep. Little Roxy music kind of mixed into there. Yeah, it was very cutting edge back in the day, very risque. But, boy, did he ever go south with his looks in a hurry. He wouldn't even know it's the same person.
There you go. David Copperfield, magician.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 65 today.
Okay.
Another hard looker right there. Some of this had a lot of renovations.
Okay.
He kind of looks like the fellow that passed away from the Cars, right? Hey, would you
Rick Ocasek?
Kind of a similar look.
Well, he was really narrow faced.
He was married to
morphing.
Paulina Porchnikova. Wow. And I was actually thinking about the Kenny Albert and his sister Denise. Denise had her birthday party, and I thought, you know, you invite kind of a local singer or someone. They have David Blaine doing magician tricks for their kids. I'm like, well, tough to top that when you go back to school. Hey,
<Who'd you> have? Oh yeah.
Yeah, my parents.
I Bozo the clown from the clown shop.
Hey, it's like you hear about these bar mitzvahs or these birthday parties where they hire, hey, I had Van Halen play at my birthday party.
Oh, yeah. There's some show, I don't know if it still exists. I got onto it for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes. Yeah. It was called My Sweet 16.
Oh, God.
Oh, so it was
I tried that too. Oh,
it was
God.
About, you know, girls daughters of really, really rich guys who would wind their way to having these unbelievable 16th birthday parties.
Yeah,
and the lengths that the parents would go, the people that were hired as whatever musicians or what they would buy them. Oh, here's a brand new Lamborghini for your 16th birthday, even though you don't have your driver's license. Yeah. It's just... it was
some
over
of them
the top.
Getting augmentation as well. But you imagine for some of these singers, OJR, and again, Eugene Melnick, when he first took the Sens, did he bring the Eagles in?
Yes.
So they came in at that time, assuming no equipment, right? And probably, a $1 million come in and play?
I heard $2 million.
$2 million. Okay. So you just get a call. Hey, get on the bird. It's a private plane. Come in and play for an hour, 2 hours, whatever else. $2 million. Like these little side private shows must be real interesting for musicians just to rake
it's like
in the cash.
Like appearance fees for golfers.
Tiger
Woods,
you know,
goes over and plays an event in China. It doesn't matter whether he wins or loses. He gets $2 million just to be there.
Yeah, I remember a buddy of mine from Maryland. I can't remember if he paid or not, but his father, his hero at the time was Fred Couples. And I remember there were appearance fees, just like when they have some of the banquets here. I assume golfers, like, hey, there's people out there. Like, how much would you pay just if you were with two buddies to play golf with Tiger Woods for a day? Now, I don't know if he's available, but do you know what I mean? Like, guys on the tour, I'm assuming that, hey, there's high rollers out there. We'd just be thrilled to have an afternoon with you.
Absolutely. Last but not least on the celebrity birthday front, Amy Poehler, very funny woman, is 50. Okay. She's what's the name of her husband again?
Well, ex-husband was...
What?
Is,
they're not together?
Arnett. They're not together
anymore.
Oh,
no, they were living together during COVID, though, right?
Yeah, they're still...
Okay.
Will Arnett?
Will Arnett, just to be close to their son.
Will's Canadian, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No,
I never knew they split.
Five years ago.
Yeah, but it was a big thing during COVID that they decided to live together, JR.
Yep, to be together for their kid.
Celebrity news and me, it's just not something I'm into. I just don't watch those shows.
Parks and Rec, fantastic job always with Tina Fey hosting the
Golden
Globes.
They're probably, in my opinion, the best kind of co-hosts for those types of shows because they've done... You know, the Emmys, and they've done the Oscars, right, a couple of times, I think. Very funny, the two of them together.
They're fantastic.
Very good.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday to you. Like Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Turning 22 years old today, the Tkachukster. And is Brady Tkachuk and are Brady Tkachuk and the Ottawa Senators closing in on a new contract? Well, maybe. We'll get to the very latest on that when we come back with another edition of What's Up, Chuck? take a tour around the rest of the news around the National Hockey League. The Blue Jays, the Red Sox, and the Yankees remain in a dead heat as all three teams won yesterday. We'll talk more football, NFL, and CFL. The Red Blacks drifting back into town to resume practice on the weekend. They're, of course, on a mini-bye. Their next game comes up next week versus Hamilton. And don't forget, tomorrow morning, we'll have tickets to give away all day. It's our all-day Red Blacks ticket giveaway tomorrow morning here on TSN 1200. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Tkachukster, the birthday boy, when we return on TSN 1200. Got lots to get to. We'll have our TSN $1,200,000 minute coming up next hour. Maybe today will be the day, although I keep pumping it up and really... yesterday our contestant got to 80, right? Got to 80. I never got the 10th question out because people complained my questions were too long, which I don't believe to be true because, you know what? I asked the question. I demand an immediate answer. If you hem and haw over your answers, then I'm not going to get the questions in. Yeah. All right? So the questions are, okay, are if you answer quickly, you will get all 10 questions. So that is part of the way the contest works.
Yeah, maybe some of the writing there at nighttime. It's like Swiss Family Robinson. You're in there with a candle. You've got the long ink, and you're just writing out your questions longhand, beautiful writing, penmanship, okay. JR.
Uh-huh.
Hey? Okay. Or maybe more like a pharmacist, right?
Okay, first question is 11 words long.
Okay.
Okay, second question, 4, 8, 13
But how many letters in those 11 words?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I got one question here that's 7 words long. I mean, come on.
You should we should have had Dino come in and do a trivia one time. And the way he did, Dean Roberts.
Dean Roberts,
the way he used to do his update on a piece of paper.
My goodness.
And then take a picture of it and actually send it out. That was
JR has pretty much adopted that same way.
No, but it was that was so cool, actually, to see that, to be quite honest with you, when he'd end up doing that. I always got a kick out of it. And always fun to run into old Dino.
Yeah. It's like Da Vinci Code trying to decode the scribbling is on those pages.
Are you a righty or a lefty? A lefty, JR.
I'm a lefty.
Yeah, and that's always. My old boss David Poyle was a lefty, and man, watching him write was one of the strangest things. How that everybody's got that little bit of a lemon twist with their left hand as they come across the page. And,
well, you
got
to do that because you know we're forced to because if you. If you got sort of a leaky pen, you'll smear the ink on your writing unless you curve your hand around. Yeah. Hammer's a lefty. You're actually out. You're out leftied on this show.
Yeah?
Hammer's a lefty
does it?
Too.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Okay.
Exactly. Nice. We're both in our right mind.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Because you're cross-minded.
Is that what it is?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I'm kind of mixed-minded because they always had trouble with that. No, it's on my original report card. It said tough time with left and right and tough time with that.
Tough time with parking. But that's an issue for another.
Yeah. Oh, it was beautiful this morning. Was feeling it? The pressure, though. Like as I'm really scanning the lot now and making decisions on where to go. So.
Okay.
And sure enough, yesterday, as was predicted, he probably did it on purpose, I did get blocked in for the first time.
I told you when you parked in those spots in the back.
No, but it's never never happened to me. But sure enough, I think JR went up during the brake hammer and put a vehicle there just to make sure I was blocked in.
We did. I did note you leaving the TV guy moving and you doing a particularly good backup and then boom right out. So that was maybe a first time that you'd been you've been that good.
Quite a bit of spacing there though. Yeah. We need to get something going, and I know you're the voice of the people
of reason.
We need to get rid of that picnic table and that whole smoking area. Like seriously, if you want to smoke, I think you should be either eating tobacco at this point, gum. Or maybe you should leave past the gate, or just tucked into the corner.
Could
there.
Pull back the fencing that's they're building, rebuilding that building that burned down in the Byward Market. They could just pull back the fencing and have the smokers in there.
Well, exactly. Used to be just like being on Stony Monday's patio back in there.
Yeah, that's true.
Go right in there.
Anyway, all right. Let's get to the story of the day, which I think a lot of people are keenly interested in. Kind of developed legs of its own late afternoon. Gord Miller, TSN. They're one of their play-by-play guys. Was on TSN 690, our brother station in Montreal. And the topic of what's going on with the restricted free agents, the 16 restricted free agents around the National Hockey League that remain unsigned as training camps are set to begin next week. And I think the story, I think he began by talking about what's going on with the two high-profile unsigned players in Vancouver, Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson, and then just kind of slipped in some news about Brady Tkachuk. So here's Gord Miller on TSN 690.
I think Tkachuk will get done in Ottawa here pretty quickly. I think they're from what I understand, they're getting close to getting something done there. So
long as reported or shorter, perhaps?
I think it's a long deal,
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So there it was. It was short and sweet and to the point, and there really wasn't a whole much of follow-up after that. But it was almost like Gord delivered that like it was... You know, a fait accompli, I guess.
No, very much.
Now, Gord is like all the insiders. Yeah. They're all plugged into various either. There's two ways you get information. Yeah. Either know a general manager or someone higher up within a team very well, or you know an agent
for
very
sure.
well. It's one of two things. So it sounds like just by how kind of. And again, it's just by the tone and the delivery
that
he seemed very confident in delivering that information that a contract for Brady Tkachuk is in the offing.
I first met Gord Miller in 1992-93, and we decided to go out after a game for a cold one. And who do I run into? Kent Manderville. And I can't remember if Dave McElwain was with him. At the time, Kent Manderville and Gord Miller were rooming together, and they roomed, and I believe, and if Mandy's listening, and of course he's in here in Ottawa, son goes to University of Colgate with Pierre Maguire, son, they were renting from Donnie Meehan. Donnie had a bunch of apartments. When you would go to a game on a Saturday night, if you were a scout or anybody else, you go to the Madison Pub. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that there's anybody in hockey that is closer with Newport Sports and Gord Miller, and that is obviously the group that represents Brady Tkachuk, and kind of the big core is Donnie Meehan, two Pat Morris, two Craig Oster, and there's a few other guys. For him to deliver that, though, is coming right from, this is just my speculation, I don't think it's coming from the Sens, because otherwise that would have been reported.
They pretty much, I got to say, the Sens, have, from their end, have pretty much locked down
most
of
their stuff.
So.
A little bit of stuff floated out, but not much for sure, and again, realistically, I've had some other information from other sources, but in this particular case, I don't think there's any purpose for Gord to float that out, and as I said, very, very dialed in. So I think if you're a Sens fan, and I think what we brought to this in the positive the last couple of weeks, JR, was the fact of, I think we'd all resigned ourselves to the fact, hey, God, this probably looks like a bridge deal. If it is as said, and they've been able to bridge the gap on hopefully an 8-year deal, boy, that could not be better news for the franchise, for the city, and for everybody involved if that ends up coming down sometime today or in the next few days.
All right, so as he said, I think Tkachuk will get done in Ottawa pretty quickly. From what I understand, they're getting close to getting something done there, end quote. And then mentioned that it is his belief it would be a long-term deal. That is now. It's interesting to note that as that information came out, Elliot Friedman was on, I believe, the NHL Network a couple of days ago. So this is before this information came out from Gord Miller yesterday, and was asked about specifically about the Brady Tkachuk situation here in Ottawa. And Elliot Friedman, again from Hockey Night in Canada, said now. So it's important to remember time frames here. He said it was his belief a week ago. That the two sides were talking about or looking at a deal that was I want to get the exact quotes right.
Yeah,
Friedman says, "I think the two sides are looking at a deal we're looking at a deal that was similar, if not exact, in the area." End quote. And they were talking about the Thomas Chabot deal. The 8x8.
Yeah.
So that was his belief, or what his understanding was, that they were looking at it. He did not say that there was an offer.
Yeah.
What he said was that was the parameters of what both sides were looking at. Now, what's interesting is, so he said that again a couple of days ago, and he said that was his belief a week ago. But if there was not a deal done within a week, or at you know, when he was talking a couple of days ago, then he said both sides would potentially be looking at, okay, we need to get the guy into camp. We both agree that we want him in camp on time.
Yeah, for sure.
That they would begin looking at a short-term deal,
you
know, obviously a bridge deal of either probably 2 or 3 years. So, and again, this is this is before the Gord Miller thing comes out, but it, you know, Elliot Friedman saying a couple of days ago that if it got to about this time frame and there was no deal potentially at that point, and again, you have talked about this as well, at some point, if you don't have a long-term deal, then you're going to settle on a bridge deal.
Well, yeah, and that would, to me, and that's where the leverage would have been on the Tkachuk side of basically saying, hey, I'll settle for a bridge deal at the end of the day, but here's the pressure, because like anything else, you have to, any negotiation, CBA, contract, you got to try to figure out a deadline. So if that is the case, and it is a deadline, and I guess just a curiosity, Jared, because when we also say long term, we go eight. Well, that could be 6 or 7. But if we're working off of what was floated out on Thomas Chabot, I think my curiosity right off the hop, I'm not really that worried. Like, I don't care how it's structured or when he gets his money. My curiosity is that 8x8 is a starting point, and 8x9 is, to me, high ground. And I'm curious where it comes in between there. That's all. But now, God, it could be, well, I doubt it's higher than 72. But I'm just wondering what was the middle ground that was found between there. That's just a speculative part of me. But very curious if it is settled on, what that number ends up being. And I think you've flown out to what, 8.25, you know, so it's not much difference, but you know, what kind of ground did you make up between those $8 million, if that's kind of what we think the range is going to end up being?
And that's if it's 8 years.
Oh, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we're all fixated on 8 years.
Yeah.
Rick Bratherson signed a 6-year deal.
Yeah.
I do not think that 6-year contracts, in my opinion, are the end of the world.
Yeah.
That is locking your core down for an extended point, an extended period of time, it's going to take you through what, in all likelihood, will be your best opportunity to win a championship.
Yeah, for sure.
It will occur within those 6 years. Yeah. If it doesn't occur within those 6 years with what you have identified as your core group, in all likelihood, you're going to want to move some of those pieces out of your core at that point because you have come to realize we cannot win a championship with this core that we had put together 4 and 5 years ago. We need to change it up. And whether it's changing out one or two or four, you know, we've talked about the fact that there's probably maybe six names in what we would think right now will be the Sens core going forward, and that's Tkachuk and Batherson and Norris and Stützle up front, and Shabbat and Jake Sanderson when and if he signs on the back end. Now, there's some other very good players around that, Connor Brown, some other important players.
Yeah.
I would call them core complementary players, but in terms of your core, if you haven't won in the next 6 years with that group, you're going to want to move on from them, some of them anyway.
And not only that, also, JR, what would be difficult with a 22-year-old is saying, listen, I'm going to buy up in an uncertain time, unrestricted free agency, where a market could go crazy, where if I'm a player, I'm a little worried. And if I'm Brady Tkachuk, it's pretty simple. I would much rather be an unrestricted free agent at 28 than 30 years old. And that's not the end of the world, but how you can double up on a new long-term deal and not be as worried, because I'll say this, I don't think the financial landscape's going to change a ton in the next 4 years. And for Brady Tkachuk, it's all restricted free agent. If you only buy up 2 years of unrestricted, even if he feels like he's a little bit below market, he could still see the light at the end of the tunnel. If you buy up 4 years, he feels he's underpaid, and then taking him to 30, the timing of that's not very good. And I think Wayne Simmonds is one of the better examples, JR, where he just missed by, you know what I mean? He had
power forward fell off the table.
Very much so, right? And like, had he been unrestricted a couple years earlier, might have cashed in. Then all of a sudden, he had just run out of track there. And now that's the case for any player. But no, to your point, I think it's an excellent one. And that's would point to, like I said, unless the Sens just really stepped up and said, hey, here's the 8 years. We're going to really lock you down and pay you. Yeah, I think 6 years would make a whole lot of sense for everybody involved. And I also personally, I just think it's human nature. I'm not so sure that having people on 8 year contracts is ever a good thing, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. And maybe within your core of six, maybe three get 8 years and three get 6 years. And maybe you identify your top of your core, and Shabbat's already got eight.
Yeah.
And right now, as you look at it, you would say Tkachuk would be, if you split the core of six in two and said, here's our top three and here's the other three, I would say right now as it sits, it's probably right as we sit here right now. It's Shabbat is already in for eight. So we'll say that Tkachuk and Stützle would be the other two that maybe, you know, you want to max out. And then for Norris, Batherson, and Sanderson, that are, and, you know, Sanderson may turn out to be a better all-round defenseman than Shabbat, but that's projecting.
Yeah, for sure. For
that
sure.
Maybe those are the guys you go six on. Yeah. I don't know. I just spitball and think about things like this.
It is. And also to not get too carried away, Jer, in a sense of, hey, 8 years, which is awesome. But as you said, if it's six, that pretty much goes in line with Shabbat by the time you do some other things. And then you say to yourself, okay, listen, in 6 years from now, people say, oh, you have all these expiring contracts. Well, let's worry about that way down the road. The real key for this franchise and anyone right now is, hey, if you can lock the core up and also come, you know, find some common ground where, from a Sens perspective, however you get these done and get into place, as the salary cap goes up a little bit, you just hope that you're in a real nice position, that you do have a core at a very reasonable number, and if your owner wants to then really spend and step up, that there is certainly room within the cap itself. Like, you know, so hey, look at a 6 year window, 7 years, whatever it ends up being, and just say, hey, this is where we're going to take our chance. And at that point, as you said, if it hasn't happened, probably time to regroup anyway.
Fair to say that signing Brady Tkachuk on 3 years, if we look at a contract of 3 years, a bridge deal, of 6 years or of 8 years, the longer it goes, the more you're paying him each year. That'd be pretty fair, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But the only thing, I'm trying to think in terms of
AAV.
It's interesting because the 6 years is very favorable to the player. Now, it's not Austin Matthews 5 years or 4 years in this case, walk you right to it. But no, I would agree with that. And also to the fact of just trying to find the common ground, I just think a comfort level for a young player. I thought you were going to lead me to, would you consider a bridge deal to be a letdown at this point, which I think we all agree it would. So, yeah, but at 6 years,
in terms of the fans' feeling?
Well, just everything, you know, because, again, what was the news that I brought or thought that, you know, surprised me was, hey, Brady Tkachuk wants long-term. He loves Ottawa. To me, that put the pressure on the club to step up and get something done versus just a fallback of a bridge deal. The fact that you could go anything beyond five at this point, I think would be outstanding for the franchise. And it just would create such a stable feeling of, and I really do believe in the case of Norris, DeSuth, or anybody else, I think, and again, this guy, I'm not saying he's a lobbyist in the sense of forcing guys to sign, but man, oh man, getting guys to buy into a program, this is your absolute leader. And I would also assume that very quickly, if it is a 6-year, 7-8-year deal, that he's the captain of the franchise. Mm-hmm. And what could be better news on the eve of training camp?
Yeah. I think when it's all said and done, when and if they get this deal done and it's a long-term contract, I think it will end up being 8 years.
Yeah.
And I'll just point out that I think six would not be, because I think if it is six, like Batherson's six, I think the reaction of some people is going to be somewhat, I don't say negative, but they'll be disappointed in a 6-year contract.
Okay. And well, you've bought the best hockey of his career, so I would never.
I don't think it's the end of the world
no,
at all.
To me, for a club, and again, God, go back to Carlson, to Duchesne, even a little bit of Mark Stone, JR, and just history itself, you know, for those contracts. I look at Couturier getting done at 29 years old. Man, oh man, hey, you are, you know, if you're a Sens fan, you say to yourself, listen, I got the best 10 years of Brady Tkachuk's career. Mm-hmm. What more could I ask for?
Yeah, and again, if you haven't won by the time a 6-year contract with Tkachuk, which means, you've got him for haven't won at that point, and I'm not saying it's all on Brady Tkachuk, and maybe he's the guy you identify that we have to bring back on, and we have to sign him to another deal. This is what I think is the key to what Ottawa has done here, and you know, ultimately, what would determine if this the plan is a success, is if they are to deliver playoff wins and then eventually a run to a championship and a championship win. That's ultimately what every sports team is looking to do.
Exactly.
And there is a window in which you can do that.
Yeah.
But your best chance to win is when your core players are at their peak.
Yeah.
And core players are at their peak usually pretty much right across the board in between the ages of about, from all points of view, mm-hmm. statistically, mm-hmm. points, and in terms of their ability to play the game and understand the game and not to be susceptible to injuries, etc., comes probably between the ages of about 22 and 28.
That
is the ultimate time to have a player locked down.
Yeah, I mean, your true superstars, you have your outliers in the Ovechkins, Crosbys, kind of where Bergeron, Marchand, you can even look to Taves, to Kane to some extent, but they are. But for the most part, and this is also the rigors of it, and I think the best example historically we can look at, JR, was how quickly the group in L.A. broke down, right? To understand where Brown went, to Richards, you know, so many Kopitar guys leveling off of, hey, you bought that window, you had an opportunity, you won a couple of cups. Now, the fault and the mistake in anything is you got to go into Bill Belichick mode at that point and realize, hey, we've had our memories, we've created them. Mm-hmm. Let's not pay for what has happened in the past. Now, you may have legacy players like Taves and like Kane, a little bit different, but overall, hey, enjoy the window. And like I said, you go back to when all the players were moved. I mean, even watching Mark Stone in the playoffs, I would really, realistically, small sample size here in Ottawa, I would wonder, as your $9.5 million player, whether or not he is truly built to play 100 games of hockey and win you a Stanley Cup at this point.
Yeah. His playoff this past year was not good, or not as good as maybe we had suspected, or not what you would hope for a $9.5 million player.
Well, his physical core strength is what scares me, JR, in the sense of guys have bad playoffs and guys struggle at times, but when I looked at his inability, and that had happened here in Ottawa at times, that would scare me. And it's not skating necessarily. It was more like, wow, this guy, unfortunately, he's not built like even a Corey Perry. He's not the best skater in the world. But he was so easily eliminated as they got to the third round. And you're also starting to get some miles here. They've played a lot of playoff hockey. Now we also get into the grind of, and should he go to the Olympics, is it realistic he can do that in a normal year? Pretty tough.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, again, just to circle back to, it was so little a nugget that we kind of have to kind of riff off of what Gord Miller had to say. But, for people who, and I think a lot of people had circled today in terms of Brady Tkachuk, this being his birthday, his 22nd birthday, is, I don't know, if you wanted to line up all your ducks in a row and announce a contract extension, what better way to do it than, and you can see the social media posts right now of birthday candles being blown out and a new contract being announced or whatever.
Yeah.
It kind of, you know, if you were to marry everything together and say this is a perfect scenario, and so a lot of people, I think, had circled this date. If Gord is on to something with his comments yesterday, then maybe we will see something today. Or the flip side could be maybe things have been advanced, but maybe at that point, maybe they get stuck again for a little while.
Yeah, it could be. But as I said, I don't, you know, again, I know Gord well enough, and there's no reason, JR, for him to float that out. And as I said, I cannot think of a person in hockey that's truly closer friends to Donnie Meehan and Newport Sports. So when he puts something like that out there, I'd be a little shocked. Because, again, it's not much wrong. Is he kind of filling in with Mitch Melnick where Pierre used to be on from 5 to 6? Is that kind of
I think Gord's been a sort of, I think goes on there once a week,
okay.
I believe, something like that.
Because he actually, when Pierre did his final hour on the show, he actually called in. And obviously, they've got a long time history. But to slide that in and to listen to it once it was posted yesterday, I was like, okay, yeah, that's just way too close to Newport Sports and the group to not be factual. Like, I just don't think he'd slide that out if it's like, well, they're, you know, he must feel like something's pretty imminent.
But it was interesting, and he gave his answer kind of riffing off of the situation in Vancouver with Hughes and Pettersson. He said, Gord Miller said, quote, Quinn Hughes in Vancouver is going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
He said, which would suggest that they are not close to a contract extension or a new contract for him. I mean, he and Pettersson are both represented by Pat Brisson, who is not Newport Sports, who is not who the Sens are dealing with Tkachuk. So don't know whether they're driving a harder bargain, whether it's because the two of them, it becomes a, I don't want to say a package deal, they get the same contract, but you're talking about two elite talents coming out of their rookie contracts. Well, that brings an even different factor into it.
Yeah, and it also, I don't know, just there's a bit of a negative, not a bit, there's a real negative vibe in Vancouver. And also, Pettersson has switched over to Pat, right?
Yes.
He wasn't originally a client, just as Eichel has done. And also kind of the family mix like we see here with Craig Oster and Tkachuk. I mean, you have Jimmy Hughes, the dad, works for Pat. So, yeah, how do you see that? You know, Yeah, I think they're in some real trouble there when you start to hear that with Pat, because Pat's certainly a heavy hitter, but like all these groups share, if they want to get a deal done, they'll get a deal done. I think the pressure on him is that when Newport Sports has delivered on some of these defensemen, even back to Doughty and Carlson and some of the new ones, probably a lot of pressure to stay right in that same range, right, on a big contract. That's really important for groups that are representing the big boys. When you got a star, you got to make sure you get those so you can get the next guy.
All right. So thoughts on anything that was discussed there is always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200. You can tweet at us at TSN1200. Phone line's always open at 613-750-1200. Again, we'll keep our eye on things today. Find out if there's any breaking news on Brady Tkachuk's 22nd birthday. What's up, Chuck? We'll take a break. Come back. We'll talk about the Blue Jay situation as they remain in a dead heat for the two wild card spots. We'll set up the football game tonight and much more. As we continue along here, you are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
We're back. Talk more about the Tkachuk situation coming up after 7. 6:57 right now. Blue Jays, Yankees, Red Sox continue their stretch run. About 2.5 weeks to go in the regular season. Jays played the Rays in a mid-afternoon game yesterday. Got the scoring started early.
1-2. Bichette drives it. Deep left field. That ball's going to go. A free run homer for Bo Bichette. Take a trip around the bases, Bo. You've got your 25th of the year. And the Blue Jays strike for 3 here in the first.
Wow. Almost channeling his, touch them all, Joe. He'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Touch them all, Bo.
There you go. I tell you what would give you comfort as a Blue Jay fan, having a 3-0 lead and then having Robbie Ray on the hill for you, because he was outstanding dealing again yesterday. Goes 7 innings, strikes out 13. And now takes over the Major League Baseball strikeout lead. He passed both Garrett Cole and Zach Wheeler of the Phillies for the Major League Baseball strikeout lead and getting his 12th win as the Jays win 6-3.
Yeah, never a bad thing in a contract here, JR, right? And they got now a little, what, Twins to Rays, Twins to Yankees, and then finish off with a little three-game set. Is it in Baltimore, or
yeah,
is it actually
home
against Baltimore? Yeah. So, yeah, boy, I guess schedule-wise, as you said, the Twins are pretty stinky. So it'll be fun when we get to that Yankee set where it is. And, what, 16 left for them and, what, 14 for the Red Sox? Both the Yankees and the Jays have a couple of games in hand on them.
Yankees play, and Hammer, you probably looked this up. The Jays play the Yankees in a three-game series in Toronto in the final week. Do the Yankees play the Red Sox? I'm guessing at some point, right?
I thought they always closed or pretty darn close, right? They always had a final set.
I would imagine. There's a lot of years in which it's decided one way or the other. It's one team has won the division, the other team is a wild card, or one team's already out of it or whatever. This is a year in which potentially, if they play each other, it could be a battle for one to knock the other out of a wild card spot, and you're smiling as in they do play each other.
Next weekend, 24th, 25th, 26th in Boston.
So there you go. That's great news for the Blue Jays because, of course, somebody's got to lose. Somebody's got to win. But you need just one of the two spots. There's two spots up for grabs. It's down to three teams now. Seattle, I think, has fallen three back, and the A's are four back or the other way around, whatever it is. They're pretty much toast. Yeah, it's looking like those three teams will battle for the two spots. So if one of them's winning, that's fine. You just need one of their spots, but it also means one of them's losing.
And I was about to say everybody in Boston loves Toronto. Then I'm thinking to myself, actually, they don't. They hate them because they're Leafs fans, so maybe they're not going to help us out. So I'll pass by on that comment.
Yeah, there you go.
The Yankees' last three series to end the season is that three-game set against the Red Sox in Toronto for three. And then they're in Tampa Bay.
The
Rays could be home and cool.
Yeah, well, they will be. They'll have won. The only thing that may be up for grabs is best record in the league for home field advantage. I think they've
God
got...
God knows you need home field advantage. That trot, man.
Yeah,
man,
what a crowd.
Beautiful crowd.
The crowd will be... They could top 8,000, 9,000 for the playoffs.
What a waste of a good ball team.
I know you want a kind of a maintenance day, guys, but from a rhythm sport, do players truly want to take time off, though, Jared? I guess you're just saying they're going to play relaxed.
Well, no, it's not so much the players. I think it's more the pitching staff. You want to get your pitching staff in order. The thing is, because there's a wild card, usually the season finishes on a Sunday. If you don't have to play in the wild card, the playoffs don't begin, I think, until Thursday and or Friday. So even if you're ace, you can go with your ace on the Saturday or Sunday of the final game of the regular season, and he can stay on his natural rhythm of pitching every five or maybe even giving an extra day of rest of six and still have him ready to go in game one. And again, first round of the playoffs is best of five, not best of seven. So, you want to make sure if you possibly can that you've got your pitching staff lined up how you want. That's huge. So anyway, all three teams, well, we should mention the Yankees and the Red Sox. Let's go to Baltimore last night. Tell you what, the Orioles looking like they're going to be play spoiler against the Yankees. They scored two in the eighth to go up 3-2. Let's take it at top of nine, two on. Orioles up by one over the Yankees.
Well, once again, it'll be a 1-2 to Gardner. And the pitch is popped up into shallow left center, and it drops. Wade scores, and here comes Torres. He scores on a little bloop single by Gardner to left center.
You can always tell when the broadcasters aren't in the building. John Sterling struggles at the best of times.
He had no idea where the ball was.
Now, it was the Orioles are playing their infield in. If you've seen the highlight, the Orioles playing their infield in. It looked like their outfield was playing on the warning track because it was a bloop, but it was not, it was not up and down in a half a second. It was like the outfielders were nowhere close to it. So it was just strange the way it played out, but good base running. Both runs scored, and the Yankees end up winning that game 4-3 over the Orioles. Red Sox in the afternoon. Went extras with Seattle, scored six in the 10th to beat the Mariners. So it is the Jays and the Yankees exactly with the same record, 82-64 with 16 games to go. The Red Sox, winning percentage-wise, are a notch below. But in terms of where they're at, they are in a heat as well, in a tie as well. They are 83-65. So they played two more games. So they are one behind in the loss column. But all three teams essentially in a dead heat for the two wildcard spots. So there we go. Jays off today. They got the last place Twins in town for a weekend set starting tomorrow. All right, we'll take a break, get you the latest news, and run down the scoreboard for you, such as it is. And when we come back, more on the Brady Tkachuk situation as the Chuckster celebrates his 22nd birthday today. So we'll talk more about the latest news on that and a whole bunch more. Our TSN $1,200,000 minute comes up just before 8 o'clock as we roll on here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.